All right, so please stand if you're able to with me. And we're going to start by reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting from verse 1. It says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Verse 4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word of truth, Lord. We thank you for the spirit of truth that teaches us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. None of us can come to you, Father in heaven, except by and through and with Jesus Christ and his work. It's not our works. It's not legalism. It's that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's all about you and what you have done. All we can do is fail, mess up, and sin. That's all that sinners do. But you saved us. You sanctified us. You gave us your Holy Spirit. And now you consider us holy. Us, mere sinners. I can only speak for myself, Lord. I thank you. We thank you, Lord, for salvation through Jesus. That now we're considered saints, holy. But it's not because of who we are, what we've done. It's because of who Jesus is and what he has done and continues to do for us. Help us to learn your word of truth. Open up our understanding. Father, I pray that you would please send your angels, surround us for this time, protect us here. Deliver those that need maybe deliverance. Maybe people need heart healing. Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted, as Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 61, verse 1. You want to deliver us. You want to take us out of the bondage and slavery of legalism and give us liberation. Oh, Father, that's who you are. That's what you do. So please, Lord, speak to us, encourage us, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So today, I believe you and I have a special treat. We're going to be looking in this chapter of how God's going to use the Apostle Paul to teach not just the people, the children of God in Corinth, how to identify false teachers, but how you and I can as well today. Okay, and so we have to guard this pulpit as well as any pulpit in churches across America and around the world. Amen? So these are some of the ways. So Paul's speaking to the church there at Corinth that many of them were receiving false teachings. Okay, and Paul's trying to tell them, hey, beware, there are false apostles at that time, just like there's many people today that claim that title, apostle. They're not. There's 12 that were special that God picked. You even see in the eternity, in the picture in heaven, if you want to say, the end of the book of Revelation, there's going to be 12 that are named with those 12 apostles. Okay? And they've all passed on. They've all been martyred, except for John. But remember, anybody remember what happened to John, the apostle? They tried to martyr him. What happened? Yeah, exile. So tradition or history holds. They try to boil him in oil. It didn't work. So they banished him to the island of Patmos. And what happens for the Christian when you give him a lot of time alone with Jesus? He got his revelation. He wrote that book that we call Revelation. You get to hear God from God better. And chances are that each and every one of you, especially the adults, you probably were brought in by God because you have gone through, can I just be direct? You're going to have to listen to it anyways if God brought you in here today. You perhaps need healing, clarity that comes through the Holy Spirit and his holy word, because perhaps many of you, if not all of you adults, including me, have been affected by false teachers, fake churches, and they abound. They're all over New York City, all over the world. Sadly, America exports a lot of things, not just Ford, Chevrolet, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, but it's also these false teachings that have cropped up in the last decades. So my guess is on the spiritual side of things, that's why God brought you to this church and brought you in here today. Okay, don't be mad at me. I'm just going to be one of God's ambassadors, his children. And you want a church that's going to stand upon God's word and simply teach throughout its entirety, God willing, in context, without man-made doctrine. Amen? That's what you want? Well, that's why God brought you in here. That's why he brought me here too. All I can do is read God's word, exhort you with it, pray for you, and point you to Jesus Christ and him crucified. So today here in this message, we're going to learn about the simplicity that's in Christ, and God's going to also warn us against false teachers that preach false teachings. And right off the bat, let me let you know, Satan has a scheme. Satan's been scheming. He's been probably not him alone. You know, he's not everywhere. There's only one of him. And he's probably not here. He's probably in Jerusalem, maybe in the Middle East, maybe in Washington, D.C. Who knows? But there are a lot of fallen angels. One third of the heavenly host fell with him. Two thirds are still with God, though. Amen? Praise God for that. And if you're on the side of Jesus Christ, you win with Jesus Christ. But God wanted the church at Corinth, including all of us, including this church, including every single one of us as born-again, spirit-filled children, he wants you and I to stay in the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. And let me just spit it to you straight to make it really simple. He wants you and I to stick with the simplicity of obeying God's word. That's it. Well, I thought you said Jesus. Well, the Bible, God's word, is what we know that God gave to us to reveal who Jesus is, how he speaks, how God operates, what is of God and what is not, what's of a different spirit. Because there's Holy Spirit and there's unholy spirits. Okay? And many of us have encountered a lot of that throughout the city. So today, kind of like going to the doctor, maybe you get your blood test, you get your blood work done, and all of a sudden, wow, you get to realize as you assess what's going on. Today might be one of those eye-opening days for you, where maybe God's going to reveal to you, just like he has to me, what had been done, so you could have the truth of God's word to give you clarity by the Holy Spirit using his word, and the truth of his word that gives you clarity, you could have closure. So you know, oh, what I was fed was garbage, it was a lie, mentiroso, not truth from God's word of truth. Okay. And so today might be a great day of healing. So I want to prep you. At the end, we might need to pray for a whole bunch of you. I'm not sure. Whether it's one or a bunch or some, we want to pray for you. Okay? Some of you might want to pray for others. So notice this. Again, Satan has a scheme. Paul tells us that, quote, the serpent did what? He deceived Eve. All right? He deceived Eve. How does Satan do this? Paul reveals to us, if you look at, just look at the text, not what I'm saying, what God has said. Look at the text. How did Satan do this? Paul reveals it was, quote, by his craftiness. Okay? By his craftiness. Let that sink in, Christian. By his craftiness. So do you think Satan's already been scheming against you, working against you? By his craftiness. Yes. Okay. Not just at Corinth, not just with Eve in the garden. He's trying to scheme against you and I. So today he's going to be unveiled. Amen? Okay, and his ways. So Paul's going to refer us back to the story in Genesis. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Genesis 3. I'm also going to display it here on the screen. We're going to compare these scriptures. New Covenant, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What's going to do in the New Testament? When an Old Testament scripture is quoted, go back to the book and take a look. Why? Many times the Holy Spirit's going to use scriptures quoting the what you and I call Old Testament, what the Jews today call the Tanakh, that you go back to that book, take a look, because it's going to reveal more. So Paul's tapping into this. Some people today, actually many people today in church, are ignorant. They're unaware of this. So this might be just revelatory, perhaps, for someone here. That's what we hope. Let's read this. Genesis 3, verse 1. We can look at this together. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. First off, God is revealing to you and I already in Genesis, which means what? beginning. So in the book of beginnings, God's going to introduce this character into the story. Genesis chapters 1 and 2, God's creating everything, 6 literal days of creation. Chapter 3, the fall of mankind. Chapter 3, God's introducing a character into the story, the serpent, what you and I today call the devil, Diablo, okay, Satan. In heaven, he was Lucifer. But this serpent, God's telling us, more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And what does he do? He said to the woman, I color-coded it here, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. All right, so this is what Paul is tapping into in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For many people back then, they probably already knew of these things. But today, we're kind of unbiblical in America, so we got to look at these things. And now you guys know this, but it's good to see and compare these things. Look at them side by side like this. Notice Satan's tactic is to attack Eve's faith in what? In God, but specifically her faith in God's word. Church, ladies and gentlemen, I love doing this at times. Lift up your sword. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the weapon of choice that the Holy Spirit's going to choose to use. Okay? The sword of the Spirit. God's word. He's going to attack your faith in God's word. Yes, your faith in God, but your faith in God's word. Did God really say that? Can you really trust the Bible? There's so many translations. I used to work for American Bible Society for 10 years in Manhattan, and I know a lot of the stuff that we would get. How do you know about this translation or that translation? There's dozens of them. Yeah, but okay, you have a Bible. Do you read your Bible? No, they just want to argue. Okay, understand Satan's tactic, his scheme. He's going to try to attack your faith in God's word. He told Eve, has God indeed said? What is it? It's an attack on the simplicity of obeying God's word. This is what Paul's tapping into. So to understand what he's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you and I need to know, we must know the context of what he's tapping into. Or else we're like, what are you talking about, bro? So he's tapping into this story because it's already automatic. Oh, okay. It's just like what happened with Eve. So let's remember, in God's marriage picture, God has a marriage photo, wedding photo. You couples have, I went to your wedding. You guys, beautiful wedding down south here. It's like professional photography. You know, some of us, many of us, we take photos, right? But you know, God's got a wedding photo, a wedding picture. Is that going to change in eternity? No. He doesn't want us to change it here. So God's marriage picture, his wedding photo, so to speak, the husband, guys, who here is the husband? Who's married? All right, raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand high. The husbands. Don't make your wife raise that elbow. Be proud of me, darling. So you husbands, you are to be a picture of who? Yeah, I guess. Wives, take note. Okay, the husbands in God's wedding photo, God's marriage picture, husbands are to be a picture of Jesus Christ. What chapter of the Bible does that come from, guys? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That's the wedding chapter, okay? So the husband is to be a picture of Jesus Christ. Now, for the ladies, who here is married? Come on, raise your hands. Come on. All right. So the brides, you are to be a picture. In God's wedding photo, his marriage picture, who are you to be a picture of in your marriage? The church. It's a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. Okay? Not two guys, not Jesus and Jesus. Not two gals, the church and the church. You get that picture, right? We don't need Jesus. That's the spiritual eternal picture. Okay? And you and I are engaged to be eternally wed to Jesus Christ. So between the first marriage, which is Genesis, that Satan messed up in Genesis chapter 3, where we say he was used and then Eve gave in, and then Adam fell. She was deceived. Adam wasn't, that's what it says. Between that picture and the eternal wedding, so to speak, of Jesus Christ and the church, which you see in Revelation, every marriage here on the planet, doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, believer or non-believer, know it or not know it, every picture or every wedding, every marriage is to be a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. That's it. Now you know most of the, like, marriage counseling. That's it. Okay? So, with that as a basis, It's about Jesus Christ, where the husband is a picture of Jesus, and the church, where the wife is a picture of the church. And Eve, guess what? Even back there in the garden, Eve is a picture of the church. Eve's a picture of the church. Please understand that. That's why Paul's tapping into this as he's trying to teach and exhort and educate the church at Corinth. He's using that picture of Eve. Why? Because he's ministering to Eve, or the church. Okay, so Eve is another picture of the church. She's a bride of Adam, just like the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying that just like the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, Satan is still deceiving God's people by craftiness in the church. Get it? Hopefully you got that. Because this is what he's tapping into. Now, I put these on the screen so you can see both of them side by side. New Covenant, 2 Corinthians 11, to the church there, or even to the church here. Genesis chapter 3, in Torah, okay, the book of beginnings, where God's saying, this is how Satan is. He's crafty. Paul didn't come up with that. God did. Serpent was more cunning. Okay, and so what does he say here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, about this serpent? He wants to deceive Eve by his craftiness. Why would Satan deceive Christians in the church? Why would he do that? Think about that. Paul tells us why. What does he say? And I color-coded it here on the screen so you can see. Okay, red, by the way, red, bad. Like red stop sign. Okay, red light, stop. Don't just go through. Okay. The serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Why would he do that? So your minds may be corrupted. Now, that alone, a couple words in English, that alone unveils Satan's plan, what he's already been doing in your life. The reason why many of you maybe struggle just to get here today. Any of you all go through a struggle? It may be on the spiritual side of things because he didn't want you to be here. God wants you to be here, though. We pray that God would bring in those that he wants to be here, those that need to be liberated, freed. He wants to take you out of legalism and liberate you. Amen? That alone might help because you now know that like Eve, like the church at Corinth, or like the church globally here, not just this local church, but the church you're part of, we don't have a membership here, okay? You're a member of the body of Christ globally, okay? So don't listen to those fake, you know, membership covenants. Those are fake. Throw it out the window. And we'll get into that in this chapter. But he wants you to be corrupted in your mind to pull you away from the simplicity of just obeying the Bible. And I know where some are at because I was there for some time, like especially as a new Christian. I'm like, it's got to be more. Just read my Bible and do what it says and talk to Jesus. I got to do something more. Any of you guys struggle against that? Okay, some of you guys are honest. Okay, that's kind of how it is for many of us, especially if you came out of legalism. Any of you come out of a legalistic background, maybe a legalistic Pentecostal or charismatic church or the Roman Catholic Church, or any of that. I hear the stories. Some of you come in, it's like, oh yeah, I went to those churches, the girls had to wear the veil, and you know, the skirt almost touched the floor. And that's not in the Bible, okay? It's legalism. Well, what if someone's homeless and they don't have shoes or couldn't afford whatever it is? Jesus still loves that person and died for them. And so don't get stuck in the bondage of legalism. Let Jesus liberate you, set you free, amen? That's what he wants to do. And some of us, we get saved through the grace of God, and we try to walk through our works. Doesn't work that way. The same way that you're saved is by the grace of God is the same way that you walk with Jesus through the grace of God. It's his strength, not yours. It's how you got saved. That's how you get sanctified too, day by day. I am weak, you're strong. Help me. That's basically it. Simple equation, right? So he might be unveiling something in your heart and mind that maybe your minds were corrupted. When you're obeying God's word, Satan cannot corrupt you. That's a story throughout the entire Bible. Throughout the entire Bible. Let me share one simple story of the many, 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 many dozens that we find throughout the scriptures. You guys know if you were here when we went through on Wednesdays, we were going through went through Torah, started going through the historical books. We got to one book where God was trying to protect his people, and there was this false prophet, Balaam. Any of you guys remember the story of Balaam? Balaam knew. He was being hired by a guy to like, hey, won't you just prophesy against these people, the Israelites, the Jews? Because, you know, I hate them, I want to destroy them, I want to kill them. And all he would do is pronounce blessings upon them. Why? Well, he knew that you couldn't touch them as long as they were obeying God's word, when they were in God's will. Same thing for you. Same principle today. Old and new covenant. So this guy would take Balaam, then give you to a different place. And sometimes Satan will try to do that with Christians even today. Let me have you see things from a different perspective, a different point of view, something a little higher, something a little different. Let me give you a little more money. Brings him over here. Same thing. Takes him to another place. Same thing. Now I'm paraphrasing the story. You can read this later on. And here's the thing. Balaam tells him, but this unveils Satan's plan, even through false prophets, like what happened with Balaam, or even happens around the city and around the world today through false teachers, false prophets. Balaam's essentially saying, hey, look, you can't touch them. But if you get God's people to disobey God's word, God will have to uphold his word. As a result, as he spanks his children, they destroy themselves. That unveils, unmasks Satan's plan. It's one of the many passages, but it's very spot on, very direct. That's exactly what Satan is doing and has done in my life, and my guess, many of you all. Where he's going to try to get you to disobey God by disobeying God's word. It's not that God doesn't love you, but the word of God stands forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8. God has to uphold his word. He's a truthful God, amen? So when he says it, he has to uphold his word. So if you break his word, if you won't obey his word, by default, he's got to spank you. And many of us haven't figured that out. Some I know new Christians many times, you're ministering to new Christians, their questions are always, well, if I do this, do I lose my salvation? If I go over here, is he going to spank me? If I drink that, hey, one shot. If you drink the whole bottle, I mean, you get those kind of questions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's a bad question, okay? Because the premise is, how far can I go away from God before he spanks me? You know, and the issue might be that person needs healing, family healing, familial healing maybe. Because they grew up maybe with a bad or abusive father or bad relationship in their family. And they think God, as a heavenly father, as a male authority figure, he's going to spank me. He's going to kick me out like my dad did or something like that. And that might reveal like heart healing that person needs. So instead of asking how far can I go before God spanks me, a better question you'll see in a new believer when they start to get closer to God, when it's actually empowered by the Spirit of God, not their flesh, is they'll ask questions like, how close can I get to God? What do I need to do to draw close? How do I hear from God? How can I read and study his word? There's a totally two polar opposite ways to ask and think and ask questions. Okay. So here's the thing. With Balaam, he was being used to tell and to reveal to you and I, as we read and study the totality of Scripture, Satan's plan is to get you to disobey God's word. In the New Testament, the way that he says it here in 2 Corinthians 11, to take you away from the simplicity in Christ by simply obeying Jesus Christ. And how do I put that in the practical and just stand upon that, walk on that daily? By obeying the Bible, what God says. It's so simple that some of us struggle. That used to be me. Is that anybody else here? It seems like, okay, I got to give something. I got to do something. Salvation by grace through faith, by the grace of God. I don't deserve it, but I get it. That's grace. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you mean, I think I got to do something. I got to go on a missionary journey. I got to give $10,000, whatever it is, because of false teachers and the need sometimes for some of us to be healed and delivered from these false teachers and fake churches that are just trying to abuse us. And this is one of those chapters that actually is spot on to reveal some of this. So when you and I are obeying God's word, Satan cannot corrupt you. But when he attacks your faith in obeying God's word, just like Balaam was used, and you study Scripture, he's actually showing us Satan's tactic. He's like, look, you can't touch these people because there's only one God, and their God is protecting them, and God's given them his word. As long as they obey God's word, God has to protect them because that's who he is. But if you get them to destroy themselves, so what did they do? His counsel is bad counsel. But it actually works. It's still Satan's strategy and his scheme today. And he's done that in many of our lives, including me, that I had to confess and repent. He says, all right, so send women into the camp, and what'll happen? These women, ooh, whatever they're going to do, and they're going to lure, tempt and lure the men away. They're going to fall into sexual immorality, and God's got to punish sexual immorality. Hopefully that makes sense, right? And they will destroy themselves. Once you stand upon God's word, he says it, I believe it, I'm going to stand here. Satan, come knock on the door. I'm not going to answer it. I don't have to try to rebuke Satan. Jesus answers the door, right? Stand firm is what he tells us. Put on your spiritual armor. Stand firm. He doesn't say fight. Stand firm. And let the Lord battle for you. But when you and I are obeying God's word, Satan cannot corrupt you. He's going to try to attack your faith in God's word, just like Balaam's revealing to us in the Old Testament. God must uphold his word because he said it, he promised it. He will punish sin and he blesses righteousness. It's a simple equation, isn't it? So that's Satan's strategy. That you and I, it's kind of like we're bulletproof if we're obeying the Bible. And just like with Eve, just like it was at Corinth, Paul is warning them, and I just like God's using me, I'm hoping, to warn the church here as well as we need to warn people around the world. Amen? That as you and I, if we believe Jesus Christ is a Savior for our sins, he's our Messiah, he died on the cross, resurrected, we repented from our sins, now we're born again, we're spirit-filled, want to follow Jesus, then we need to continue to teach and preach the entirety of the Bible and simply do what he's telling us to do. It's that simplicity in Christ. It's too simple. Okay. Again, how many of you, well, when you think about how simple Christianity is, for salvation or sanctification, you just read and obey the Bible. It seems too simple, and it was really a struggle just to do that. Is that any of you? I want to see, because I want to know. You assess, and then you address. Okay, so there's a couple of us. That's the reality is, it's many of us, right? So the Lord might be ministering to you if that's you. So Satan, what does he want to do? He wants you and I to fall just like Eve did. And this is what Paul's tapping into. Therefore, it's the will of God that you and I stay in the simplicity in Christ by simply obeying God's word. That's really how simple it is. It's really simple. And anytime you and I deviate from obeying God's word, you and I would have fallen into Satan's scheme where he's corrupted your mind. This was his scheme. This was his strategy. This was his tactic with the church at Corinth, and Paul's writing this in what we call chapter 11, and this is his tactic even here today. Why would he do this? Because it works. It's worked greatly in America. It's really easy to find a fallen church, which I would say is a fake church. Really easy to find false teachers here in New York City or the greater New York area. It's really hard to find a church that teaches through the entire Bible, God willing, without man-made doctrine. And I'm not saying we're perfect, because we're definitely not. I'm still a sinner saved by grace. Pray for us, though. We're not perfect. We're not better. We just want to be biblical. Amen? So pray for us. That's why God brought you in, I believe. So Satan's scheme is to attack your faith in God's word. Why would he do that? Because it works. It worked with Eve. It works in the church. He used it in Corinth. I hope you see that. And Paul's being used by God. And I hope God's using me, maybe, with my meager words. Forgive me, Lord. Holy Spirit can make things clarified for your understanding that this was Satan's scheme also to attack your faith in God's word. But God's goal is for you and I to simply obey his word. The simplicity that's in Jesus Christ is so simple. You've got Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. Imagine that, a church that will actually give to you and not seek to take from you. Okay? And that's what God wants. So now God's going to reveal to you and I some clues of how to detect false teachers. Look at some of this. I didn't write this. So if you think I'm scheming for this, I didn't. It's actually been in your Bible. You probably already read it. Some of you probably memorized this. Look at this. I color-coded in red. So here's one of the tactics. Here's some of Satan's strategies that he's going to use false teachers to preach another Jesus. So what he's going to do. The serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Why? He wants to corrupt your mind. And look at verse 4. Preaches another Jesus. It's been there for almost 2,000 years. What do false teachers do? One of the ways is they're going to preach another Jesus. Here's how you could tell if a false teacher preaches another Jesus. Paul says, whom I color-coded, red means bad. Right? Blue, This is what you do. Okay? Paul says, whom we have not preached. If it's a Jesus that the apostles in the Bible did not preach, that's another Jesus. Amen? Thumbs up if that makes sense to someone here. Okay? Now, you need to know this and teach this to others. Verse 15, we're not in it yet. God willing, we'll get to it in a bit. Verse 15 teaches us that they are, get this, please hear this, listen. They are a minister of Satan. Wait a second. Minister means servant. I thought God has servants. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, it teaches you and I that Satan actually has ministers who will be false teachers. So how does Satan preach another Jesus to you and I in America? It's also by his craftiness. He's crafty. Satan's going to use his ministers to preach another Jesus to God's people. And then what happens? And then many fall, just like Eve did. Again, this might be revealing for someone here. False teachers today. You're going to hear some of them even say things like, oh, Jesus is okay with homosexuality. Anybody hear that? Okay, that's an abomination. I didn't write it. That's what God says in his word. And by the way, you can't even preach that from pulpits in some places today. Like, try to preach that in some places. You're not able to. Or false teachers will say things like, Jesus ordains homosexuals as pastors. Not so. And when you hear that kind of a message, you're going to be warned, you're warned now, that that's a message from Satan's minister. I don't care what title they have. Well, he calls himself a reverend. It doesn't matter what the title. And by the way, you only revere God, amen? Only God. But you know that you've been warned that Satan's minister has been preaching another Jesus, because that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Also, some false teachers teach a different spirit. Notice what he says here. It says, look in the red again, if you receive a different spirit. False teachers will teach and preach on a different spirit. Now, some of you guys may have been caught up into this. I remember going to a church where I see, like, actually a bunch of churches. They do that head slapping thing and they all fall back. And if you see that, fake. It's fake. Okay? Slain in the spirit. I don't see that in the Bible. I see believers fall face forward. I see in the Garden of Eden, Jesus is there revealing, like, who'd you come see? Jesus, right? He says, I am. He reveals himself as the I am. And what happens with Judas Iscariot and the others that came to take him? They fell backwards, kind of like bowling them. Non-believers fall backwards. That's actually interesting when you actually compare it with the Bible. Be careful of that. A different spirit. False teachers will teach a different spirit. Have you guys ever heard of holy laughter? Ha, 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 I can't control myself. Uncontrollable laughter. Anybody hear that? Okay, that's fake. What is that? Well, according to the Bible, we're to be like Bereans, Acts 17, verse 11. We're to test all things, 1 Thessalonians, right? That's a command, by the way. Test everything. And you can't test it with my feeling. I feel like this. I feel like it's that. No, you test it only by, through, and with God's word. Amen? When you test it against Scripture, it fails the Scripture test. That's a different spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Some of you guys know this and memorize it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And what's the last one? Self-control. Self-control. Very good. Give your sister a high five. Come on, high five. Come on, better. Come on, that's really good. All right, so the Holy Spirit, when he produces out of the heart and life of a believer, self-control, doesn't mean like sometimes you go crazy and out of control. You ask, okay, I confess I need your help. I need your control. He'll help you. But holy laughter, when someone's out of control, Galatians 5, 23, you now know that's a, is it the Holy Spirit or a different spirit? It's a different spirit. It's a false teacher. There's a lot of fake churches that promote that. And maybe some of you have been to that or been through that. I've been through some of that, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I was eating garbage when I could have been eating the grace of God, you know, feeding upon your word. So that's a different spirit. Those are fake churches and false teachers. Uncontrollable laughter, where they can't control themselves. But the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. That's not of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you'll find that again in Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. So that's a different spirit. And there's many Pentecostal and charismatic churches, of which we are not. That's why Calvary Chapel, we're non-denominational. We refuse the labels. I just want to follow Jesus and read and obey the Bible and teach that to you. And we don't have a membership. Some people get mad. We don't have a membership. We're not going to force people to give money. I got some friends that are pastors and gone through like seminaries. Like, how do you sustain? I remember one guy at American Bible Society. Oh, Lord bless his heart. He went through a seminary. He's asking me, what's your 5-year plan? He's one of those guys I have a joke with. I go like this. Say, please, Lord, what do you want? I don't have a 5-year plan. I have a today and a tomorrow plan and whatever God wants. That's simple. It's so simple that it messes with us, especially if you're analytical. You're someone that you got to figure things out, plan things out. Who here are the planners? Okay. If you're into administration, organization, you're into planning, this will mess with you, right? The simplicity in Christ to be like Mary at his feet. Wait, I got to do something. Actually, about half of us or less are probably that way. So there's many churches, though. Again, many Pentecostal churches, many charismatic churches have totally fallen into a fake spirit. It's a fake church. Those are false teachers, false apostles, false prophets. They're preaching different spirits. That's not the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He's going to trade you for what? Holiness, not unholiness. Okay, not let me get my flesh. All right, let's continue on. I got to continue on before someone hits me. All right, verse 7. Let's read this. It's on the display too. Verse 7. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles. Listen to what he says here. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Please hear this out. Verse 14, verse 15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. If any of you heard that, maybe preach as a principle. Hey, Satan can appear to you like an angel of light. Now, that's a principle taken from 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. That might be so. Chances are he's not going to appear to you and I here in New York City. Again, I like to think, because he's not everywhere at once. Amen? Good thing about that. Not like God. God's everywhere. So Satan's probably in Jerusalem or the White House or, you know, messing with people. We're like small beans for him. Okay, probably somewhere else. But fallen angels can come. Yes, they can appear like an angel of light. That's usually how we hear it couched or phrased and taught as that principle. However, that's not the context. Please hear the context of the text. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please hear the context of the text. Third time, I want to tell you. So I want this to sink in and settle in. Please hear the context of this text. Look at verse 15. Therefore, so in other words, what is the therefore, therefore? It's there because Paul said what I just said in verse 14, therefore, now look what he says. It is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves. Wait a second, did he say his ministers? Satan has ministers, just like God has ministers. Please understand that. It is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. All right. By the way, what Paul says, I robbed other churches in verse 8, he didn't literally rob other churches. Maybe tongue-in-cheek, maybe sarcasm. Basically, he's saying to Corinth, hey, look, false teachers, they're going to try to take from you. This is what he's going to reveal in this chapter. But Paul's saying, I didn't rob you. I actually was blessed by other churches to be able to do it, to pour out and to minister to you in Corinth. And by the way, that's the way of Jesus. That's the way of the apostles. Pray for us. That's what we seek to do here. We want to be a church that gives. I mean, where do you find that in New York City? And people struggle with that. Again, we get people every now and then that come in, and they struggle with the fact that we want to give to them. And I see the look on their face. We used to go and do, before the shutdown, some of you guys remember we used to go and do on Roosevelt. I call it Roosevelt, but New Yorkers call it Roosevelt. We used to do outreach to a lot of day workers and all. One day there was this Spanish guy stood up. He's like, all these churches around, all they want to do is they take their money. And I agree. Like, there's a lot of these fake Spanish churches all over the place. Some of them are cults. It's like, all they want to do. And then I was there with my friend. We wanted to give him a New Testament. He's like, well, we're here to actually love you and give to you. And he kind of stopped because he never heard that we were there to give to him. He ended up being softened. We'd see him a couple times. He started attending here. It was a little too far for him to come. He started to go to tell his friends out there, the Spanish speakers. It's like, hey, you've been listening to fake churches and false teachers. You know, come. There's other churches that you can find that will actually look to love you and pour out to you and give to you. That's really hard to find. So keep us in prayer here. But Paul's not saying he robbed other churches. False teachers are like that. Instead of praying for you, false teachers will try to prey upon you. Okay, that's something to be aware of. But you and I learn this passage. Again, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He's not going to appear to you like, hello, I'm here. Look at this pretty good-looking angel of light. You know, if that happens, you know, still filter it through God's word. I believe, has anybody heard of Mormonism? Anybody heard of Joseph Smith? It's a cult. It's not born-again Christian, okay? He claims an angel appeared to him, Moroni. Kind of funny name. Some of us like to say Moroni, but that's the name he gave it. He says an angel appeared to him. I believe an angel appeared to Joseph Smith, a fallen angel. So be careful. Hey, be careful. That can happen, but the reality is most of us are small beings. Most of us, the way that this Satan works, how he schemes and how he plans, is he's not going to just appear on sight most of the time for us here in America. It will be through using his ministers, as we find here, false teachers through fake churches that are going to try to take you into bondage. Okay, so today's one of those days. It might be a revealing day for you and I where, oh, I was feasting on poison, on garbage through fake churches and false teachers. That was me. And speaking with many of you, especially many that are on the sermon team, one-on-one, when I get to talk to them, that's virtually all of us adults. So be careful. It's really around us today. But please understand the context. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Please understand the context of this text, of what God is trying to teach you and I today. That he's saying that, yes, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, but how does he do the work? He's going to use his ministers, false teachers. This is what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. Even in that context, for them, with them, it's like what I believe God's wanting me to share and warn you and I here today. It's not Satan himself or fallen angels themselves, but maybe some of these people that are preaching, they're not saved. They may be demon-possessed. Wait a second. But they mentioned scripture. But wait a second. Didn't Satan quote God's word to Eve? Wait a second. In Matthew's gospel, the temptation of Christ, didn't Satan try to quote God's word even to Jesus? And Jesus, we're taught Jesus is the agent of creation. He created all the angels, including Satan when he was called Lucifer in heaven. Wow, a sneaky sucker, right? So he can quote scripture. So just because someone, ladies, let me speak to the singles, just because a guy comes on, oh, girl, you know, some of you guys know on the streets, guys talk about, hey, you ain't got no game, you get no girl. That's how a lot of guys are on the streets. Okay? I'm not saying I'm like that, but that's the talk. Or at least not used to be. Not like that anymore. But let's say some guy comes like, oh, he must be the one. He said Jesus. He quoted the Bible. What did he quote? Jesus wept. Did he quote any more than that? Okay, check his walk, not just the talk. Amen? Okay? And not just the girls, the guys too, anybody. When I come to New York City, I find that many people say, God told me this, God put on my heart. About 90%, since I've been here over 24 years now, about 90% of what I hear from so-called Christians is fake. It didn't come through God. When you weigh it through the test of the Bible, it's usually emotion or whatever it is, or they think, or they're greatly misled. Anyhow, let's continue. I can go on and on there. But know that Satan also has ministers. Again, I didn't write this, but God brought you in today that you would be revealed the fact that Satan actually has ministers Just like what happened there in Corinth, Paul's saying, hey, be aware, Satan's got ministers that are teaching false teachings. He's warning the church at Corinth. Just as I believe God's wanting me to warn someone here in this church that we got to be aware. He's trying to infiltrate this pulpit. Satan's not allowed here. Amen? Okay? Only Jesus and God's word. So ministers are going to try to transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. In other words, they're going to look holy. They're going to quote scripture, and we're going to think they're of God, but they're not. There are false prophets and false teachers all around us today. We just got to be careful. All right, let's get to the next passage. Look at verse 16. Now, this one might reveal to you what he's already been doing, what Satan's been doing to steal you away from the simplicity in Christ of just obeying God's word. Verse 16, I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. When I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Look at this in verse 20. It's going to reveal a lot to you. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. Verse 21, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that, but in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. So God's revealing to you and I here, look at verse 20, some indications of these false teachers, whether it's Corinth or New York City. And this is something that's happening all around us. Think of like all the teachings you've ever heard. You listen to stuff on YouTube. Is it fake or is it true? Notice what he says here. Brings you into bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, I know from speaking to many individuals here and praying through them and those that God have brought in, legalism is something that a lot of us here need healing from. Legalistic false teachers love to bring you into bondage. That's legalism. Please understand that. Anybody here know that God's healed you from or is wanting to heal or trying to heal you from legalism and bondage? The slavery, like handcuffs, right? But the simplicity that's in Christ will do what? Will set you free. That's the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Legalism is a totally polar opposite message. Legalism is man-centered, who you are and what you can do or what you can get out of God. But grace, God, the grace of God and the gospel is about who God is and what he did for you. It's totally opposite of the legalism. Legalism and grace. Legalism that comes from the world and the grace of God that comes from heaven through Jesus Christ. They are polar opposites. So legalistic false teachers love to bring you and I into bondage, but Jesus wants to take you from liberation or from legalism into liberation and to set you free. Amen? He wants to do that here. So prepare yourself that we would be able to pray for you because I believe we need to pray for someone here. And we'll close in just a bit. Susan, can we get set up? I don't know if she's over there. To set up to close with some time of worship, but also to pray if someone wants to be prayed for. So beware. Beware of fake churches that will force you into signing even like a membership agreement. I've warned people that have left here and they go to a church. It's like there we used to have a guy that pulled people to a fake church where they try to force people into a membership agreement. Why don't we have a membership agreement here? Actually, I get people that come in, they get mad at me. Why? Because it's not biblical. Because you belong to God, not me. And we're not a denomination, so we're an abomination. We don't have, you know, the Pope and cardinals. We don't have all that. That's not in the Bible. So it's too simple for some people. And some people, the comfort zone is for them to stay in handcuffs. Maybe that makes sense for someone. I remember when I did a lot of prison ministry, I went to Rikers Island, and I went to the ARDC, the Adolescent Detention Reception Center, something like that, where the adolescents and adults, some of the adults are. And there's a guy that stood up. We're in the sanctuary. I was there with the chaplain. Then the guy stood up. He's like, I'm glad I'm here. And we're like, what are you talking about, bro? He's like, I'm glad I'm here because every time when I leave, I can't make it. I need the structure that's here. You know, they tell me like when to eat, when to do this and that. They provide for me. But on the streets, I go back. I'm with my homeboys. You know, whatever issues he had, drugs, gangs, or whatever it was. He's like, I get in trouble all the time. But here, I'm away from all that, and I can focus on God. And I have structure in my life. And like the light bulb started to come on a little more. It was just kind of shocking. I'm glad I'm here. That can happen sometimes. And some people are more comfortable and familiar with bondage. That guy actually was. So as a Christian, he actually had to confess. He couldn't make it on the streets, but he could at Rikers Island. I'm like, wow, he's happier to be at Rikers Island because with the structure, he's able to exist, he felt. So some people are like that. But again, we don't have those kind of things. We don't want to bring people into bondage. We want to set you free. We must. We have to. Amen? That's what Jesus wants to do. Some churches will force you to give money, and they're going to force people to sign a membership agreement, like you're a member at BJ's or with your credit card, so it's a legal agreement. And some denominations will have an exit interview. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you might know. You can leave a denomination. You can't just leave one particular big denomination and go join the other one across the street in another denomination. Legally, you may have to sit through with a pastor or a whole board of people and go through an exit interview. It's like any of you guys ever call up Spectrum Cable or when it was Time Warner, and you're like, hey, look, I can't pay for this. Is that anybody here? Or maybe your cell phone company? Yeah. And you know what they do? They send you to the retention department. That's actually literally what they call that. If you know that, then you know how you can get a better discount. You call it, hey, I want to negotiate my contract. Oh, let me put you on hold, please. Hi, this is so-and-so from the retention department. Hey, I'm paying too much. So they're not going to accept your no. They're going to say, well, if it's a problem, how about we cut it to 50%? So some people go through that exit interview for a denomination where they try to keep you there. And yet the Holy Spirit is the one that should control you. Amen? Not a person, not a denomination or an abomination. So we don't have a membership here. We're not a denomination. But that's how it is in the denominational world and with some other churches that have a membership. So why don't we have a membership? It's not biblical because you're a member of the body of Christ, right? We don't want to control it, sir. I don't want to control you. The Holy Spirit, that's his job. So instead, we want to point you to God's love for you that God might liberate you and I from legalism and point you to liberty. Notice it says devours you. So legalistic false teachers may want to also devour you. They want to devour you. Why? Because for some, it satisfies their pride that they can make you feel lesser or smaller. It might satisfy someone's pride or ego. But we don't want to do that. That's not the way of Jesus Christ. By the way, many of you have come in because maybe you got burnt by another church, a fake church, a false teacher, and you were hungry for just the Bible. Who is that? We prayed for you. Since I came here February 2002, post-9/11, my equipping is to make disciples. That's the Great Commission. I'm like, Lord, you gave me a Bible. You gave me a gift of teaching. This is all for you. I don't care if I die here. Sorry, I know I'm married now. It's different once you get married and have kids. But that's how I was in February 2002. If I'm to die out here to glorify you, so be it. But I think you're telling me that you want a Bible teaching church here. I didn't know the lay of the land. I didn't know that it's really hard to find that, that even the church down the street is an abomination. I'll let you guess which one. That there's a lot of that around here. But my heart was, God, can you show me who your kids, your children are? Father, your big heavenly Father, I don't know anybody out here. You could introduce me to them. And look, we pray that God brings people in. That's the common story we've heard throughout more than two decades here. That's why we pray. And as we mentioned about praying, on Wednesdays, join us. We still pray for that. God, bring people in that are hungry for your word. They need deliverance from bondage. But fake churches and false teachers, they just want to devour you, but they never fed you God's word. That's why God brought you in. Think about it. We're a church that not willing to, we don't want to take from you, we want to give to you. That's like odd. Some people, they wrestle with that. Like the buddy that I met at Rikers Island, who'd rather be in handcuffs and be jailed. That might be comfort for some people. But maybe you've got to get deliverance because you were fed garbage by fake shepherds. Woe to the shepherds, is what God said through some of the prophets in the Old Testament. They weren't feeding God's people. They were fleecing the flock. They're ripping off the people. And maybe you weren't shepherded. You weren't fed God's word and tended to as one of God's sheep. And God brought you in here. And maybe the people that were teaching you, they were just hirelings. They were there for the money. And as soon as the money left, so did they. Right? So what is Paul's the apostles' way? What was the way of Jesus Christ? It's like, they did it free is what Paul's saying to Corinth. Same thing here. It's like, we just want to love you and give to you, point you to Jesus Christ and teach you and feed you God's word. And then that will bring, even in contextual looking at texts like this, as we go through the entire Bible and looking at the entire book here, 2 Corinthians, this might help you because you're going to see, wow, I got to get deliverance. I need prayer. I need healing. Also, it says takes from you. Oh, this is, you know, how many of you, you've been through legalistic false teachers, not at Corinth, but in New York City and beyond. Legalistic false teachers, they love to take from you. That's why when I tell you here, it's so odd. You guys understand this, but I'll get people that come in. And again, I have some friends that are pastors and ministers throughout the city, not just Calvary Chapel. But I'll see their methods, and I'm like, oh, man, that kind of, I cringe when I hear of some of that. If I listen to some of the teachings, too, where it's all about money, and it's all about your faith, and you can have more faith by giving more money to them, of course. So the false prophets will profit, okay, P-R-O-F-I-T. We don't want to do that here because that's going to set me up and us up as false prophets, false teachers in a fake church. So some of you need to know that that's been fed to you, but legalistic false teachers love to take from you. By the way, finding a church in the greater New York area that will just teach you, God willing, throughout the entire Bible, just the Bible, God willing, teach it within context without man-made doctrine, that's hard to find, isn't it? Anybody know that that's extremely, extremely, extremely hard to find? My 24 years being here, I find that I can't find that. Other Calvary Chapel churches, but it's not just Calvary Chapel. By the way, there's six of us. We're all smaller here in New York City, the nation's largest city. And we all have that heart. We just want to feed people God's word and point people to Jesus. And we want to see God's word proliferate. But the prophecies in the Old Testament, there's going to be a famine for God's word, for hearing God's word. Anybody know that? Okay. We went through that recently. There's a famine for the hearing of God's word. So this is the way of Jesus Christ. He simply wants to point you to the Heavenly Father. And he wants you to read, to understand, and to apply the Bible. Simple stuff. It's that simplicity in Christ. But please pray for us. Pray for us much as we go forward. We want to be a church and continue to be a church that seeks to give to people, to love people, and not to take from you. Again, this might mess up someone here. You're like, what? My comfort zone is I'll give. Fine. You could, if you want to give, this is your home church, you can see Leticia. Okay, you could use our website. You could use the offerings box. But don't give it to me. I don't care to know. Also, notice this here. Lastly, it says, exalts himself. Oh, beware of titles of false teachers. There's one that really gets under my skin. Most holy, right, reverend. And I, by the way, please don't ever call me reverend. When I worked for American Bible Society, when they do events, they knew that I was an ordained pastor. And so one of the guys, God bless his heart, he went through seminary. He's like, I'm going to put reverend. I'm like, no, don't put that. I joked with him. He's kind of stoic. Like, you could put foot washer, but he didn't laugh at that. I'm like, I don't use that title. Why? And I love that open door. And I'll tell you, because I don't want you to revere me. You only revere God and God alone. Amen? Okay, so beware of that title. The Holy Spirit's going to always point you to who? Jesus Christ. So if someone's going to come on the scene and exalt self, a lot of times they have a lofty, high title. Then exalt self, I'm the apostle this, apostle that. Oh, are you condemned to death like Paul and the other apostles? Where are the stripes on your back? How many nights did you, you know, you go on a ship and it goes down and you're like sitting there in the deep water? Not so, okay? They're fake apostles today, just like this chapter and many in the Bible reveal. So many people use unscriptural titles or they try to exalt self instead of pointing you to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember, this is the church, Corinth, where Paul says, I determined to know nothing amongst you except Jesus, Messiah. Of course, that taps into all the Old Testament scriptures and him crucified. Him and his work, not you and what you can do. Him and his work. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's always going to point you to Jesus Christ. Can we all stand, please? I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. We're going to close at this part in the scriptures. We pray that God would bring you in. Thank you for bearing with us through this message. But perhaps you're one that God wants to heal and deliver from false teachers, fake churches. Maybe that's your background. I don't know. And if so, you probably need a healing. And it's not going to come from us. You know, we don't dole out the Holy Spirit. That's another fake message that's been out there. But we want to pray for you and point you to the one that wants to liberate you, to take you from legalism to liberation. Amen? And maybe someone here needs prayer for that. If that's you, we prayed for you, that God would bring you in. And we want to love you. Can we love you? And we're not going to be the church, you know, as far as a building. You didn't go to church. We do want to be the church where we would pray for each other, love one another, encourage each other, just like your body, the body of Christ. It does healing from within. Can we do that today? I know we can. This is something unique and really special that God's done with us. So if you want prayer, as we close, I'm going to ask you to simply come forward and we can pray for you. If you want to be anointed by oil, we can anoint you with oil and pray for you as well. But let's go ahead and please pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the awesome accuracy of your holy word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We thank you, Lord, how you reveal so you could heal. Lord, I believe the people that you brought in today, these are people that have been abused by fake churches and false teachers. And they simply want you, Jesus. They want to be healed and nurtured, nourished, like you tell us how a husband is in nourishing care for his wife, feeding her your word, Lord. That's what a husband does, and that's what you do, Jesus, as the ultimate bridegroom, the husband. You want to use your word because you love your bride. And Lord, as we study what Paul is used by you to teach in the church at Corinth, we know you're teaching here, the church in Queens and New York City, and Lord, all of us here. And some of us are here just for today, perhaps. And some of us are here to get a healing, Lord, that comes from you. So we ask you, Jesus, even as you prophesied in Isaiah 61, verse 1, that you've come to heal the brokenhearted. Many of the people here, you know, Lord. They were taught and fed by maybe false prophets, false teachers, people that were fake, agents, ministers of Satan. But thank you for you revealing that. Open up our understanding more and more. And Lord, we ask, can you please do that heart work here, the heart surgery, heal the hearts that are here, Lord. Help us to simply come back to the simplicity in Christ, that we would simply obey your word. Protect this church body. Help us, Lord, to keep reading and teaching and sharing and preaching your word, Lord. But equip your people right now, here now, please, Father, send your spirit so they can get healed. So when they leave, Lord, they can go on living life on mission, on point, to do whatever you're wanting to do with their lives. Help us, so we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.